while they were asleep. Their orders were to work their way forward quickly from the southern edge of the camp and operate in pairs to reduce the chance that someone was left alive long enough to sound an alarm. They should be cautious, but move quickly. His night children were to sit in the trees on the eastern side of the camp where the player camp was located. Their job was to kill players as they logged back in. Jason expected that when his thieves were detected, an alarm would be sounded by the NPCs and the players would begin to log back in. If the night children could kill a few of the players while they were logging in and were disoriented, Jason could reduce some of the player population of the army. He also had an ulterior motive in using the night children on the players. He wanted to scare the shit out of them. Once he had his plan in place and his forces ready to attack, Jason climbed back into the tree. He would need a good line of sight on the battlefield, and the tree gave him a comfortable view of both camps. As he settled into position, Jason felt his heart race and his palms tingle. The icy chill behind his eyes seemed to freeze over. His eyes glowed darkly as he readied himself for what was to come. It was time. Alex is going to love this next part. Without another thought, he commenced the attack. Jason quickly cast Curse of Silence on one sentry after another on the southeastern edge of the camp. His thieves then took out the sentries in quick succession using well-placed arrows. After only a few minutes, the bodies of the sentries along the southern side of the clearing were all swiftly cooling in the chill night air. Not a whisper of an alert had been raised. His thieves then moved forward and entered the camp. They darted from tent to tent in pairs, slaughtering the sleeping soldiers. The thieves wreaked havoc, their blades taking the lives of many sleeping soldiers. Jason expected that the large tents in the center of the NPC camp were where the camp's leaders slept. However, he wasn't concerned about taking out the NPC leaders. He just needed to whittle down their troops. What use is a commander without anyone to command? He thought darkly, as the icy slush in his veins seemed to throb and pulse in time with his heartbeat. The experience and damage numbers came raining in, and Jason disabled his notifications. He could review the detailed information after the fight, but right now it was just a distraction. Jason kept a watchful eye on the eastern side of the clearing, where his night creatures hovered on the edge of the player encampment. They were still sitting in the trees and waiting to pounce. So far, he hadn't seen any motion from the players. Unfortunately, the massacre in the NPC camp was short-lived. One of his thieves was spotted, and a cry went up from the camp. Soldiers began to emerge from the tents and grab their weapons. Panicked shouts filled the air while the camp bustled with confused preparation. Jason's eyes jumped back to the NPC camp. From where he sat in the tree, he watched the chaos. The camp now looked like a giant anthill, with the soldiers swarming to prepare themselves for battle. Since the threat had not yet been identified, the actions of the soldiers were uncertain and uncoordinated. Lucky me. With the players logged out, the NPCs and I can have some quality time together. He quickly ordered his thieves to retreat and move back to the tree line. Their shadowy forms danced through the tents and swiftly awakening guards. In the bedlam of the camp, many of his thieves made it out alive. However, as the ragged group approached the tree line, Jason noted that he was missing 8 thieves. Damn it. At least their sacrifice will help win this fight. Jason began frantically raising zombies, using the corpses in the tents on the southern edge of the camp. He chugged mana potions as he watched his mana plummet, but he tried to be conservative. His supply of potions wasn't endless. The new zombies slowly stood up and joined the defenders that were starting to regroup and collect at the southern part of the camp. Some had lit torches, and the campfires gave off a dim light. However, the area was still not well lit, and long shadows were cast by the troops and tents. The soldiers didn't seem to notice that the dead walked among them. Jason managed to summon 8 new zombies before he hit his control limit. He ordered all of his thieves farther back into the woods, but he didn't retreat them back to the rear guard. Instead, they spread out, and each climbed nearby trees, drawing their bows from their backs and knocking arrows. Jason sent a short mental command to his zombie lieutenant. "Shock and awe," he whispered quietly. Soon he could hear the guard zombies coming through the woods, shouting with hoarse, mangled throats and clanging their swords against their shields. The army noticed the noise, and the NPC leaders ordered their troops into formation. They turned to face the southern tree line, clearly anticipating a zombie horde to descend upon them. As the soldiers moved into formal ranks, Jason made certain that his newly formed zombies were evenly spread among them. He was visualizing the blast radius from each zombie, and a familiar grin was plastered on his face. Then his rear guard began to emerge from the tree line at a run. They roared in defiance at the army. Jason could just barely see the commander near the back of the army. He was a tall man wearing steel armor. The man must have thought his army was being charged and panicked. He called for his troops to attack, and they rushed forward on his order. Jason's grin transformed into a broad smile, and his eyes glowed. His mouth began forming ancient words in Viridian as his hands moved through a rhythmic series of gestures. Dark energy pooled and collected in front of Jason, and then darted forward into the night. Explosions rocked the army. Agonizing screams could be heard as the tightly packed soldiers were struck by the shrapnel from the exploded zombies, severing limbs and leaving ragged rents in the soldiers' armor and flesh. Dark energy radiated in concentric circles from the zombies that had infiltrated the enemy ranks and lashed at the troops. Where the dark energy struck, skin began to quickly rot and melt away from the NPC's bones. The explosions caused confusion among the soldiers' lines. Between the darkness and the unanticipated attack, the troops were disoriented and not certain where to run. Jason quickly ordered his rear guard back into the forest in case he needed to retreat. He noticed that some of the NPC soldiers continued running toward the forest and disappeared into the trees. He mentally ordered his thieves to begin picking them off with their arrows, reminding them to stay hidden in the trees. His rear guard was ordered to end the lives of any NPCs that made it past the thieves. He started summoning more zombies, using the new bodies littering the clearing, making certain to summon zombies at irregular intervals among the mass of troops. Jason was continuously chugging mana potions to keep up with the rapid casting. At this point, it didn't matter if the zombies were controlled or feral. He just needed to create more chaos. From the soldiers' perspective, it appeared that they were being attacked by their own wounded comrades. Jason saw a fallen soldier latch onto another's leg, tearing at exposed flesh with its teeth. Another ran his former comrade through with his sword, and then decapitated him in a fountain of blood. Throughout the field, feral zombies rose from the ground, their eyes shining a milky white. They rushed at their former teammates, their hands ripping at exposed throats and eyes. Their hungry screams filled the air. The sudden attack within their own ranks turned confusion into complete chaos. The soldiers became so panicked that they started turning on each other, stabbing randomly at friend and foe alike. The field was a mass of bodies as the enemy army destroyed itself. Blood covered the ground and mixed with the dirt, covering the soldiers and zombies in a dark red paste, serving to further disguise the undead. Casters within the NPC army tried to join the fight with bolts of flames and frost that rocketed into the field. Patches of frozen and smoldering ground quickly appeared amid the battlefield. This only added pandemonium, since the casters couldn't distinguish the soldiers from the zombies. Jason saw more than one regular soldier engulfed in flame. Some casters tried vainly to heal the wounded that lay on the field, many of which were being crushed to death by the melee that was taking place above them. The air was filled with the sounds of throaty roars from the zombies and screams of the wounded and dying. Metal clanged against shields as the troops fought among themselves. Over the cacophony of battle, the NPC leaders tried to shout orders to the troops. "Now for the next step." With a telepathic command from Jason, fireballs ripped through the air on the northern side of the clearing. The balls of flame struck the wagons forming the corral for the army's animals, instantly igniting the wooden vehicles. He had given his fire mage one goal, burn as many of the wagons as possible. His exact words had actually been, "Set the whole damn camp on fire." Towering flames began to grow on the northern side of the camp, illuminating the chaos that raged on the southern battlefield. The flames spread, jumping from the wagons to the tents. The animals screamed and reared with nowhere to run. Their burnt and bleeding corpses were soon added to the mounting body count. Meanwhile, Jason's fire mage relentlessly cast fireballs at anything that wasn't already on fire. He aimed for wagons, tents, and supplies. The flames cast long, terrible shadows across the tents and soldiers, kicking up a thick smoke into the sky. The NPC mages turned panicked eyes to the northern part of the camp. Ice mages rushed toward the flames and cast every area of effect spell in their arsenal, trying to dampen the fire. One mage began casting a spell that created a torrential blizzard over part of the camp. While this slowed the flames, it also struck other NPC soldiers, leaving them trapped in place. A maelstrom of fire and ice now swirled above the camp. Jason watched awestruck. The ice behind his eyes seemed to crystallize as he watched the scene unfold, and black bands of energy twisted and crawled up his arms. The energy began to peel away from his skin and lashed at the air hungrily. "I had hoped for a similar result, but this is madness." As Jason continued summoning zombies with frantic effort, the enemy commander had finally found his horn and began blowing it repeatedly. Sluggishly, his troops retreated back into the interior of the camp. Once he had the troops safely between the tents, the NPC commander began to return them to order and recreate their lines. He gathered the ice mages and had them work in concert to put out the flames. Yet he couldn't bring back the soldiers that had already been killed. Jason glanced over at the player encampment and noticed that several players were beginning to re-enter the game. A multicolored tear would appear in the air, followed by a popping sound as their bodies appeared in-game. It was almost comical to watch their heads turn as they arrived. The same confused expression would sweep over their faces as they witnessed the whirlwind of fire and ice swirling over the NPC camp and the gruesome melee in the southern part of the clearing. Without hesitation, Jason ordered his night children into action, commanding them to focus on the players that entered the game near the edge of the woods. He realized he was about to have a lot of angry players in the area in a few minutes, and he would likely lose most or all of the night children. He could always raise more. Right now, he needed to thin the player population of the army. The night children fell from the trees along the edge of the player encampment like ghastly gray meteors. They landed on players that had been foolish enough to log off near the tree line. The momentum of their free-falling skeletal bodies allowed them to strike with terrible force. Their dagger-like fingers penetrated flesh and scraped across bone. In some cases, the power of their initial blows severed limbs, and blood gushed from the gaping wounds. Once the nimble skeletons hit the ground, they began attacking with an uncanny ferocity. The players let out shaky screams and cries for help as the night children wound their way through their ranks like miniature gray whirlwinds. The skeletons aimed for killing and crippling blows, leaping from player to player in a frenzy of bone and blood. Their small agile bodies were gruesomely quick, and they performed acrobatic leaps, tumbles, and spins as they rampaged through the players' ranks. Their small bodies and dark coloring, combined with the disorientation of the new players entering the game world, made it difficult for the players to identify the threat. Jason watched mesmerized as one night child severed a player's hand with its claws. It spun quickly, slicing through another player's abdomen with its bladed elbow. Leaping onto a third player, it slashed at his exposed throat. The player let out a muffled gurgle, and a torrent of blood erupted from the wound. Not a drop touched the nimble Nightchild, who had already moved to the next target. He had given them careful instructions. Their goal was as much to scare the players as it was to kill them. If they couldn't kill a player, the Night Children tried to inflict crippling or maiming blows. A player likely wouldn't die from a severed hand, but the dull pain they felt and the trauma of losing a limb accomplished something more important. Jason wanted to crush their spirit. His dark eyes turned back to the NPC camp and noted the hundreds of dead and dying NPCs that littered the ground. Many had been gored or were missing limbs. The screams and calls of the injured filled the air and meshed with the sound of clanging metal. He glanced back at the player camp and noted that some of his Night Children were beginning to fall as the players regrouped. Then a blinding flash of light erupted from within the player camp, and several of his Night Children disintegrated instantly. Alexion had finally made his appearance. A golden aura now appeared over the swiftly growing group of players. One brightly lit player was making its way at a run toward the NPC camp. Alexion was trying to move to help defend the NPC army. Little did he know that the battle was already over. The damage was done. As the last skeleton body collapsed, Jason called a full retreat and pulled his remaining forces back into the dense forest. A vicious grin still lingered on his face, and black tattoos of energy crawled over his skin. Your move, Alex. Chapter 28. Massive. Riley walked slowly through the NPC camp, her eyes wide as she surveyed the destruction. Nearly 2 hours had passed since the battle, and a haze of smoke still hung in the air. Wounded soldiers lined the rows of tents, lying on makeshift stretchers. Many moaned in pain and called out for a healer. She could see that a number of tents and wagons were either still smoldering or were covered in a thick layer of ice. As she walked through the rows of tents, images of the battle she had witnessed in the player camp flashed through her mind. She had been lucky. Riley had been sitting at one of the campfires closer to the interior of the clearing when the gray skeletons dropped from the tree line. She had witnessed firsthand the destruction the skeletal nightmares had wreaked among the players. Riley had barely been able to follow their unnaturally swift gray forms as they wove their way through the players that popped into existence on the eastern side of the clearing. She had sat in numb amazement as she watched player after player butchered before her eyes. Her thoughts were interrupted by the conversation of a group of nearby soldiers. They all looked exhausted after the battle, but they had survived with only small cuts and scratches. Others had not been nearly as fortunate. Many of the soldiers were younger men in either their late teens or early 20s. However, one of the soldiers was an older man in his late 30s. A deep, jagged scar ran vertically from his eye to his chin. In contrast to the horror-filled expressions of the younger men, his eyes shone with weary confidence. "How many do you think there were?" one of the younger soldiers asked, his eyes still filled with fear. Another young soldier sat on the ground, trembling slightly. His voice was shaky and uncertain. "There must have been hundreds. I've never seen anything like that before." The older soldier eyed the two calmly. "I don't think there were many undead in that field. Maybe several dozen at most." He paused and then said thoughtfully, "I believe we were tricked." "What do you mean?" one of the younger soldiers asked with wide eyes. The older soldier hesitated, and his eyes filled with sorrow. "I could be wrong. God's helped me. I hope I am. I think there were only a few zombies. My guess is that someone used the panic and chaos to trick us into killing each other. It must be this Jason that the travelers keep talking about. As he said this last part, he rubbed at his stubbled face tiredly. One of the young soldiers looked back at the field of corpses that lay south of the camp.
You mean we did that to ourselves?
His expression was filled with horror. The older man looked evenly at the boy sitting before him and spoke carefully. If I'm right, there was only one real enemy out there tonight, and no one saw him. The expressions on the younger soldiers' faces warred between terror and amazement.
What kind of demon could do this? One of the soldiers murmured.
The older soldier looked back at the battlefield and shook his head sadly. I don't know, but we should never have come here. Riley started moving again. Was the weathered soldier right? Had Jason done this on his own? She walked to the southern part of the clearing and inspected the corpses. She noticed that most were human. She was only able to identify a few fallen zombies by their milky white eyes. She knew she should be horrified by what she was seeing, what she had already seen over the last few hours. A few weeks ago, she would likely have quit AO in disgust. Yet now she was filled with a strange curiosity. What kind of man could cause this much destruction on his own? If she was honest, a part of her was excited by the prospect of power she saw before her. It wasn't the raw strength of a warrior, but a certain insidious cunning and a willingness to do whatever it took to win.
Could I become this strong? A voice whispered in her head.
The thought wormed its way into her mind and seemed to gestate there. She desperately wanted this strength. She needed it. Her thoughts were interrupted by an incoming message from Alexion. He was commanding her to come to the administration tent in the center of the NPC camp. Anger boiled in her veins at Alexion's imperious order. Despite her irritation, she sullenly started heading towards the tent. When Riley arrived, she found the NPC leadership and Alexion sitting around a large rectangular wooden table. The room was filled with NPCs and players discussing the massacre the night before. Riley assumed her familiar polite mask, taking a position along the edge of the tent with the other camp aides. Alexion stood at one end of the table, his hands firmly planted on the wooden surface in front of him. His eyes scanned the room.
Can anyone tell me what happened last night? His voice was terrifyingly calm.
Silence hung over the room. Finally, one of the NPC commanders spoke up. He was a large man with graying hair. Scars riddled his face and arms. This was not his first battle, and he addressed Alexion without any hesitation in his voice.
Clearly, we were attacked. In spite of your spy's information and your carefree attitude a few hours ago, the undead decided to meet us in the field.
Alexion stared at the man, and Riley noted that his mask was beginning to crumble around the edges.
The undead army is still in the Twilight Throne, Alexion said, his voice ringing with confidence.
The NPC responded calmly.
And do your spies also happen to know where Jason is at this moment?
A flash of doubt crossed Alexion's face before it resolved into a contemptuous expression.
Are you kidding me? Are you trying to say that one man caused this much damage?
His cruel eyes drilled into the NPC commander.
You better hope that is not the case. Regent Strauss will not be happy to hear that you lost nearly 400 of your men to one traveler.
The NPC commander chuckled softly.
Boy, I lead the soldiers pledged to this cause by House Tyrael. I don't lead this army, you do.
You had best take your own advice. How exactly do you plan to explain this massacre?
Riley was aware that each of the noble houses in Grey Keep had pledged troops to the army and sent their own commanders. These were the men sitting before them. Her gaze moved to Alexion, and she watched him closely. His eyes had gone dead and lifeless. An involuntary shiver ran up her back. Alexion moved around the table to the NPC commander at a casual walk.
You had best use care in how you address your superior, Alexion said, his tone carrying deadly intent.
The man laughed again.
Or what? What do I have to fear from a young pup who pretends to be a wolf?
As Alexion neared the man, his sword launched from its scabbard in a flash of steel. The blade sunk into the commander's throat with little resistance. The man's eyes widened in shock as a muffled gurgle left his lips. Blood bubbled around the wound. Alexion withdrew the blade, and a burst of blood rushed from the open gash, splashing against the wood of the table. The other NPCs and players drew back in horror. Alexion looked around the table and met the gaze of each NPC and player in the tent. His eyes glowed a brilliant gold, and his body seemed to glow. He spoke in an unnaturally calm voice, as though what he had just done was inconsequential.
I am the leader of this army, and my authority shall not be questioned.
When he was met with silence, his voice grew louder. Have I made myself understood? NPCs and players alike nodded in numb acknowledgement of his words. Their eyes darted between Alexion's face and the body of the former commander that had slumped to the floor, now lying in a pool of blood. Now, Alexion addressed the crowd before him, I want the bodies burned. We will leave no corpses that can be turned against us. Then we continue to the Twilight Throne. Our mission has not changed. We need to send these undead back to their graves. Dismissed.
Riley stared at Alexion as he marched out of the tent. His mask had slipped completely, revealing the sadistic monster that lay beneath. As she watched him slay the NPC commander, she expected herself to recoil in horror. Instead, an errant thought popped into her mind.
This isn't real power. He is weak.
They were still 2 in-game days away from the city, perhaps longer now that they needed to pile and burn the bodies. She didn't feel optimistic about their success in the coming battle. A lot could happen in 2 days. After Jason had pulled his forces deeper into the forest, he took a moment to regroup. He posted sentries in the trees around his makeshift camp and kept his undead on full alert. He didn't know whether the NPCs and players would give a chase. Regardless, he expected that it would take them some time to douse the fires and regroup. Jason wasn't certain how many NPCs and players had died in the battle, but he anticipated that it was at least several hundred. He knew that they wouldn't just have to regroup. They would also have to deal with the many wounded that needed tending.
I doubt they will send a search party. Not immediately, at least.
Once Jason felt that the area was secure and that he was safe for the moment, he finally checked his combat log. He was immediately bombarded by a string of notifications. Times 17 level up. You have 85 undistributed stat points. Times 2 skill rank up, summoning mastery, skill level intermediate level 4. Effect, 21% increased stats for summoned undead, and 21% increase to effective willpower for purposes of determining control limit. Effect 2, you may now communicate with your minions telepathically. Distance limit unknown. Times 3 skill rank up, leadership. Skill level, beginner level 6. Effect, minions and subjects will receive a 3.5% increased learning speed for skills. Times 3 skill rank up, tactician. Skill level, beginner level 6. Effect, 10% increased damage multiplier for a successful ambush or strategy. Currently, damage times 1.10. times 3 skill rank up mana mastery. Skill level beginner level 8. Effect, minus 4.5% to mana cost. Times 3 spell rank up specialized zombie. Skill level beginner level 8. Effect, increased skill proficiency retained by zombies. Skill cap beginner level 8. Times 3 spell rank up corpse explosion. Skill level, intermediate, level 1. Effect, increased damage, currently 1.10 times health. Effect 2, 1% increased blast radius.
Honestly, I was expecting a few more levels.
After he had reviewed the battle in his head, the experience made sense. His minions had killed a reasonable number of soldiers at the beginning of the fight, but the bulk of the deaths were caused by friendly fire. He could still see the image of the chaotic battlefield, with soldiers stabbing zombies and teammates alike. He also noticed that his corpse explosion had advanced to intermediate level 1. This was the second spell that had upgraded to the next rank. Upon reading the tooltip, Jason discovered that the skill had gained a second effect, which increased the blast radius. Looking through his combat log, he was surprised to discover that the player kills had provided experience. This was actually the first altercation he had been involved in where the players were a reasonably high level. If the player kills provided experience, then, theoretically, it was possible to level based solely on player versus player combat in AO. Jason was now level 78. He decided to continue dumping points into willpower, bringing him to 424. With his summoning mastery now at intermediate level 4, he had an effective willpower of 513. This brought his control limit up to 51. He decided to review his character status to see what had changed in his current stats. Character status abbreviated, changes only. Level 78. Infamy, 2200. Health, 495. Mana, 4735. Mana regen, 23.75 per second. Stamina, 745. Stamina regen, 3.6 per second. Dexterity, 36. Endurance, 36. Willpower, 429. Dark affinity, 31%. Light, 4%. Fire, 3%. Water, 2%. Air, 3%. Earth, 2%. He was definitely getting stronger, but he wondered if it would be enough for the upcoming battle. His attack had been devastating, but there were likely still more than 1,000 NPCs and players marching toward the Twilight Throne. What was curious was that his dark affinity had increased by 1%. This must be what Morgan was alluding to during her explanation regarding the affinities. Likely acting on his need to protect the city and his desire to seek combat had caused the increased dark affinity. Jason was surprised that he had gained a full percentage point, but perhaps the extreme lengths he had gone to in the last battle had some bearing on the size of the increase. He noticed that his other affinities fluctuated over time. That must mean that acting on the behaviors associated with those affinities increased them. If he kept going with that line of reasoning, then acting contrary to the behavior associated with an affinity must lower it. His musings were interrupted by soft purring, and he looked down to see Onyx weaving between his legs. "Where the hell were you during the battle?" Jason asked the cat in irritation. Onyx looked up at him with mocking eyes and yawned in an exaggerated fashion. Jason sighed and shook his head. He had actually been a bit worried about the stupid cat when things had started going crazy during the fight. Trying to figure out what to do next, he decided that he needed to watch Alexion's army and see how they would respond. After that, his next step would be to gather more minions and then harass the enemy on its way back to the city. If he could buy the city more time to prepare for the upcoming battle, that should increase their chances of winning this war. His lieutenant zombie stood at attention before him. As Jason looked him over, a thought occurred to him. It would take Alexion a few hours to get back on the road,
his army would inevitably continue their march east toward the Twilight Throne. However, now that Jason had seen the size of the army, it was clear that it would be forced to spread out in a thin line along the roadway as it traveled forward. The woods on either side of the road were too dense to traverse easily. Jason quickly gave the lieutenant some instructions before he left with the other 8 guards and 4 mages. The group would circle back through the forest, keeping pace with the road on the northern side. Jason would follow after he had summoned his new minions. His group of fresh zombies would keep pace with the enemy on the southern side of the road. Positioning the guards and mages on the northern side of the road would give him more opportunities to harass Alexion's army during the trip back to the Twilight Throne. A few rather gruesome ideas had already crossed Jason's mind about how he could kill off some soldiers and weaken the army's morale even further. His eyes darkened until they shone with an obsidian glow, and a grim smile curled his lips. Rex was right when he said, "I don't like to fight fair." Before he could break into an evil cackle, he might have been practicing, a thief entered the small encampment that Jason had set up. It coughed violently, blood and phlegm spraying from its throat. It then looked at Jason with milky eyes and gave its report in a hoarse voice.
"Master, the soldiers are gathering the bodies and are burning them in a large pit."
"Well, shit. I was hoping they would just leave the bodies." His hands rubbed his face for a moment as he considered what to do. He really hadn't expected Alexion to be so clever. In fact, he was half expecting him to leave the bodies to rot in the clearing. After a moment of reflection, he realized that there were still some corpses he could salvage in the woods. Some of Alexion's soldiers had run ahead of the main body of the army. They had been picked off by his thieves and guards, and it would be much harder for Alexion to send scouts out to find them, especially if they thought the undead were still lingering nearby. Not wanting to waste any time, Jason quickly ordered his remaining thieves to collect the bodies of the guards that had been killed in the woods and draw them farther back into the forest. He also urged them to be careful in case Alexion had laid any traps. Then he sat down to wait. A few uneventful hours later, Jason made his way back to the clearing. The army had continued down the road towards the Twilight Throne and had left several long trenches piled high with burning corpses. The trenches threw off a thick smoke and an unpleasant smell. Jason covered his mouth and nose with the hem of his cloak in a vain attempt to block out the stench. Normally, the game muted his sense of smell, but apparently the AI controller had decided that hundreds of burning corpses should have some lasting impression on his digital nasal passages. His thieves had already thoroughly inspected the area and concluded that there was no one nearby. Jason wasn't surprised. Large pits of burning corpses weren't a pleasant sight to behold. Jason also expected that the pall of death that hung over this clearing probably had a demoralizing effect on the remaining soldiers. Alexion had likely concluded that he needed to continue moving to maintain morale and to keep his troops focused on the battle ahead. Jason watched the burning flames mournfully.
"So many wasted zombies."
Even Onyx looked sad as he sat beside Jason and stared at the flames. His thieves had managed to recover about 30 corpses from the woods, but Jason had wanted to see what he could salvage from the camp before he started raising any zombies. It didn't look like there was much. As he watched the burning pile, he noted that the bodies were burning quite slowly, and no bones had yet been revealed.
"Wait!"
An epiphany struck him, and he quickly cast Custom Skeleton. The world slowed to a standstill and took on an ethereal cast. The flames now lapped ever so slowly at the corpses. Jason could sense the bones that still resided within each of the burning bodies. As he saw their faint blue outlines through the flames, his excitement grew. The fires were intense,
but it would take most of the day for the flames to eat through the flesh and fat before they destroyed the bones. He began moving the bones gently out of the trenches. This caused the burning bodies to break apart and shift in a rather grotesque fashion, but he was left with a massive number of intact bones. Jason worked swiftly, and soon stood next to the towering pile of assorted bones. He estimated that the tower of bone was 10 feet tall and nearly 20 feet wide. Gathering all of the bones in the trenches had taken a couple hours, but it was worth it. He now had a respectable pile of building materials. Onyx had taken the opportunity to scale the pile of bones. He sat at the crest of the tower and eyed Jason regally. "Oh, hail the mighty Bone Lord," Jason said with a mock bow and a chuckle. This drew an irritated expression from Onyx, and he quickly dropped down from the pile. "Now, the question is, what to do with all of these?" The Night Children had been effective, but were exceedingly frail. He expected that there would be small skirmishes during the trip back to the city, where their agile gray bodies could prove useful. However, the final battle at the Twilight Throne would involve direct confrontation. The Night Children would not hold up in a straight fight, where the enemy saw them coming. Jason also wouldn't have time to come back to retrieve the bones. Anything he didn't use now would be wasted. "What type of minions do I need for the upcoming fight?" He leaned against a nearby tree and tapped his fingers against the bark as he thought. It would need to be something that could take some damage without crumbling. Ideally, it would also be something that could break enemy lines and draw attention away from the Twilight Throne's fledgling army and his more fragile thieves and casters. Jason was positioned at the rear of Alexion's army, so he would be able to flank them during the siege. A basic form appeared in his mind's eye as excitement started to well inside of him. He experimented with the editor, and a form slowly took shape in the air in front of him. It was a hulking skeleton, standing nearly 8 feet tall. He needed the creature to be strong and durable, so Jason used multiple bones to form each extremity. The dark mana acted like glue and could bind several bones together. It wasn't as stable or durable as using a single solid bone, but Jason's bone-crafting skill wasn't high enough to merge the bones together. The skeleton was simply massive. Its arms and legs were nearly a foot in diameter. Its spine was lined with large bone spikes, and Jason had created a tail that terminated in a spiked ball. He had to use a skull for the ball, and the effect was a bit terrifying. It had taken a couple tries to get the tail right, his goal being for it to be versatile as well as intimidating. After some experimentation, he discovered that using the vertebrae from the spine gave it greater flexibility. Since the creature had begun to look like some kind of hulking lizard man skeleton, he adorned its reinforced skull with two vicious horns. Many of the bones were singed, causing the skeleton to appear almost entirely black. For the creature's weapons, he welded together multiple shoulder blades into a towering sheet of bone. The shield was 5 feet tall and appeared to be created of bone scales. He connected the bone shield directly to the left arm, foregoing the need to build a hand. Jason then used bones from the forearm to create foot-long spikes and attached them to the outside of the shield at regular intervals. The creature's right arm from the elbow down was formed into a massive bone sword. Jason would have preferred to create a mace or axe, since these weapons required less accuracy and relied more on brute force, but he wouldn't be able to make those weapons until his bone-crafting skill increased. Fortunately, he was able to add an edge to the column of bone that formed the blade. Once the bones were in place, Jason started imbuing the new skeleton with dark mana. Instead of focusing on reinforcing the joints, he imbued mana directly into the bones. After a couple of tests, he discovered that it greatly increased their durability. However, he didn't have sufficient mana to reinforce the whole skeleton, so he focused on the skeleton's weapon, shield, legs, head, and tail. He figured these areas would be struck the most often, and the large shield and tail would protect the interior bones and arms. After a few trials, he stepped back and surveyed the finished version of the new skeleton. It was an intimidating sight, and towered over Jason. He had the test skeleton strike a tree with its sword, tail, and shield several times to assess their durability. They were surprisingly resilient. A grim smile lit Jason's face. He needed to conduct some combat testing to see what the new skeleton was capable of, didn't he? He raised 3 zombie soldiers and ordered them to attack the new skeleton. The resulting battle was almost comical. The 3 zombies surrounded the skeleton in an attempt to flank the creature. The bone tail swept at the soldier at its rear, tripping it. The spiked ball at the end of the tail then hurtled downwards, striking the zombie soldier's head. The soldier's helmet crumpled as its head was crushed with a splintering crack. Congealing blood leaked from the mangled helm and dripped onto the gray soil. The other 2 soldiers had attacked the monster from the front, thinking that it was distracted. The skeleton charged forward with large lumbering steps while it held its shield in front of it. The shield impacted one soldier, impaling it and lifting its body into the air. The impact barely slowed the skeleton due to its weight, and it used its forward momentum to put additional force behind its sword as it swung at the remaining soldier. To his credit, the soldier managed to bring up his sword in time to block the blow. Apparently, zombies didn't understand physics. The zombie soldier was sent hurtling backward by the force of the blow and slammed into a tree with a crunching noise before sinking to the ground. The skeleton showed no mercy and swiftly decapitated the incapacitated zombie. Then it turned back to Jason, ready for additional orders. Onyx stood beside Jason. He kept glancing between the skeleton and Jason. Jason couldn't quite read the cat's expression, but it seemed to be something along the lines of, "Holy shit."
"No kidding. That thing is ridiculous," Jason said in an awestruck voice.
Jason inspected the creature before him. The skeleton was level 85 and had nearly 3,000 health. Jason expected that his allocation of dark mana made the skeleton tough, but it lacked the raw damage of his night children. It had cleverly used its momentum and weight in the fight with the soldiers, but he expected that its normal strikes would carry less force. He also noticed that it was quite slow, even at a full run, a downside of its weight. As the last step, Jason needed to assign the new skeleton a name. However, his hand hesitated as it hovered over the control panel of the skeleton editor. Onyx looked up at him disdainfully. His expression said, "Just get on with it already." Jason scratched his head and stared at the sword and shield that the skeleton carried. It looked like some kind of demonic knight. An idea struck him, and he quickly typed in a name. His new creature would be called Death Knight. What was truly terrifying about the Death Knight was that it cost 2,500 mana to cast and required nearly 30 times the number of bones as his night children. After leveling, Jason's control limit had grown to 51, and he could still summon 31 minions. However, the huge pile of bones beside him could only create 25 Death Knights. It would take thousands of corpses to make a sizable number of Death Knights. "Damn game balance," he grumbled under his breath. After he had made all of the Death Knights he could with his existing materials, he received a couple skill and spell level up notifications. Times 3 skill rank up, bone crafting, skill level beginner level 7. Effect, access to bone modification in the skeleton editor. May currently alter the composition of bone by 11%. Times 2 skill rank up, custom skeleton, skill level beginner level 5. Effect, you may raise a custom skeleton using nearby bones. The skeleton's level is calculated as the caster's level plus willpower divided by 73. Once his death knights had been summoned, Jason ordered his thieves to retrieve the bodies of the soldiers. He raised an additional 6 soldiers, bringing him to his control limit. As he surveyed the remaining corpses, a thought occurred to him, and he ordered the thieves to load the extra bodies onto his death knights. They were each able to awkwardly carry a body using their forearms. This was a fine solution as far as Jason was concerned. He was going to keep them far back from the road during the trip back to the Twilight Throne anyway. They made far too much noise. The dark bodies of the Death Knights towered over the thieves and soldiers that stood before them. Jason admired his troops, eyes glowing darkly. With a new surge of confidence, he ordered his miniature army forward into the dark forest. He had work to do. Chapter 29. Grotesque. Morale had fallen considerably since the attack on the camp 2 days ago. As Riley rode in the column towards the Twilight Throne, she noticed that both the players and NPCs continued to glance nervously at the darkness lining the sides of the road. They huddled towards the middle of the column, trying to stick together in anticipation of future attacks. Carrying a torch was now seen as an honor rather than an obligation amongst the soldiers. If the attack on the camp had been bad, the next 48 hours were worse. The army had been constantly plagued by attacks. It wasn't just the constant fighting, but the way that the attacks were made. Jason never struck the same way twice, and his methods were a bit unorthodox. Riley's thoughts were interrupted by the conversation of 2 nearby NPC soldiers.
"Why the hell did we join up for this war?" asked a soldier in a gruff voice.
The soldier appeared to be in his 20s, and dark circles hung under his eyes. Both he and the soldier beside him were making the journey on foot.
"Well, the money, of course, but it isn't worth dying in this damned forest," said the other man in a bitter tone. He stood nearly 7 feet tall, but his soldiers were bent under the weight of the pack he carried.
"I second that. This Jason is more ghost than man. First the massacre at the camp, and then 2 days of constant attacks. To top it all off, no one has actually seen him," the first soldier said, disbelief in his voice.
"That doesn't surprise me one bit. Jason's a clever one."
The second soldier paused for a moment, lost in thought.
"You remember that first attack when we got back on the road?"
The first soldier sighed and shook his head.
"How could I forget?
One of our own came running out of the woods screaming for help. I watched a group of soldiers from House Oriel break off from the column to help the man."
He shuddered slightly.
"As soon as they made it to him, he just exploded. Took out the whole group."
He hesitated, taking a deep breath before continuing.
"The skin actually melted off their bodies, and their parts were scattered everywhere. Alexion ordered me to gather the pieces and burn them."
He trailed off at this last part as he relived the memory. His mouth twisted into a disgusted grimace. The second soldier nodded solemnly.
"And that isn't even the worst of it. Yesterday a group was blown up as they passed over a stretch of road. They found pieces of armor and equipment lodged in the dirt. This demon buried the corpses in the road."
The first soldier looked at him in shock.
"I didn't hear that one. It must have happened further up the column."
He looked at the ground beneath him nervously, as though it might explode at any minute.
"Don't bother looking. It certainly didn't help the other group. I suggest you settle accounts with the gods.
I pray every night.
There's no telling who will be next," the second soldier said, shaking his head.
"The nights are a good time for praying. They are even worse than traveling down this death trap of a road,"
the first soldier said as he spat on the ground.
You aren't lying, responded the second soldier. I don't dare to even get up to take a piss anymore. A few of my tent mates haven't ever returned, though it has seemed safer since they started digging the latrines right next to the tents.
Except for the smell, the first soldier grumbled.
Better to smell shit than eat it, the other rejoined with a dark chuckle.
The conversation between the guards was not surprising to Riley. She had witnessed many of the events they were describing. Since she had attended nearly all of the meetings between Alexion and the NPC commanders, she had a good sense of the army's actual losses. Over the course of 2 days, they had lost an additional 150 NPCs and players, dropping the headcount of the army to approximately 950. Riley also knew that some of the players hadn't actually been killed. They had simply stopped logging back in as the constant attacks and darkness took its toll on morale. The game was simply too realistic. Those that left couldn't handle the psychological war that Jason was so successfully waging. The reaction among the players that stayed was surprising. Many couldn't decide whether they were angry or impressed. Jason was waging a guerrilla war in this forest, and he was clearly winning. Many of them were rapidly realizing that it wasn't a fluke that Jason had conquered Lux. In contrast, Alexion didn't seem to be able to offer much of a defense. The forest was too dense and too dark to try to pursue Jason, or to allow Alexion to use his superior numbers effectively. The army was basically a sitting duck while they traveled down the road. As she watched the reactions of the NPCs and players over the last 2 days, Riley had felt a change in herself. It was a hard feeling to pin down, but it was there. In spite of her anger, she felt more calm, more cold. She had also become increasingly numb to Alex's abuse or his threats. With the cooling of her rage, she began to seriously question herself. Why hadn't she told her parents about Alex's threats? Why had she let herself be browbeaten into collaborating with Alex's story at school? Why didn't she just fess up now? The other part of her mind answered back scathingly, "It's because you were weak and afraid." In the midst of her self-recrimination, her thoughts had focused on Jason. He fascinated her. On the long journey, she had sometimes pretended it was the Jason she knew. Riley tried to think of what she would say to him if she saw him again. Each time she fumbled with the words. What could she say that would make what she had done any better? She clutched at the reins tightly. There was nothing she could say that would make up for what she had done to Jason. She needed to act. Yet before she could help Jason, she needed to help herself. She needed to do something to escape Alex. A call was raised from the soldiers at the front of the column. Riley couldn't see anything from her position in the middle of the army. As she made her way forward, she heard the whispering from the soldiers. They had reached the city. Then the city's dark walls came into sight. Enormous blocks of obsidian stone towered over the army. The dark iron gate that led into the city stood firmly closed. Billowing dark clouds hovered in the sky, casting a nearly impenetrable blanket of darkness over the field. Lightning arced between the clouds, an occasional bolt striking the ground as thunder pealed like the sound of cannon fire. In the brief flashes of light, Riley could see spiraled towers that stretched into the void-like expanse of the sky. Alexion moved to the front of the column, sitting straight on his white horse. He began the words and gestures of a spell. As he finished casting, a bright light radiated from him in a blinding explosion. At that moment, Riley saw the throng of undead lining the walls of the city, watching the approaching army with milky, soulless eyes. Their bodies trembled, not in fear, but with eagerness at the prospect of the upcoming battle. Riley felt a strange emotion overtake her. It was a tantalizing mixture of awe, fear, and excitement that momentarily expelled her sense of self-doubt. A shiver ran up her spine.